Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Winter is over. It's time for spring training for you, for me, for everybody. But getting in shape isn't what it used to be. Full-service gyms, great, but a little passé. Now there's boutique fitness, SoulCycle, aerial yoga, boot camps of all kinds, and it can be expensive. But there are movements afoot for people who want it free, who want community, who want more than just muscle. This hour on Point, getting fit this spring, mind and body. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What exercise is getting you out there, keeping you out there? What do you pay for now? What do you do for free? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Two dazzlingly fit masters with us today. From San Diego, California, Brogan Graham joins us, co-founder of the November Project, a free outdoor flash mob exercise group, now tearing it up in 19 cities. Brogan Graham, welcome to On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me, man. It's such an honor.
It's terrific to have you with us. I can't wait to share more about what you all are doing. It's kind of wild. And with me in the studio, Rebecca Pacheco, marathoner and acclaimed yoga teacher, yogini, author of the new book, Do Your Om Thing, Bending Yoga Tradition to Fit Your Modern Life. You can find an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. She's also resident yoga expert for Runner's World magazine. Just released a free yoga fit challenge on their website. Can do the pretzels and run you into the ground. Rebecca Pacheco, welcome to On Point. Great to have you right here.
Thank you, Tom. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's terrific to have you both, sort of mind and body, yoga and marathon, and this thing you do, Brogan, this kind of flash mob thing. I was not hip to this, and when I first got hip to it, it's pretty wild. Let's just listen for a second here. Here, I don't even know how to describe this exactly, but the tweet goes out early in the morning in 19 cities in North America, now 17 in the U.S., 2 in Canada. A location is announced, and people assemble, and they exercise. Here's the November Project gearing up with chants and a stair run in Washington, D.C.
I pledge allegiance!
I pledge allegiance!
To the November Project of America!
To the November Project of America!
To the stairs!
To the stairs!
On which we run!
To the stairs on which we run. What goes on when the tweet goes out and the gang assembles, Brogan?
Whoa, that makes it sound even weirder than it is. That's Danny Metcalf in D.C., one of our co-leaders there. Yeah, social media has built this fanatic mob that's happening in 19 cities, and people are psyched to come out and share space with one another. It's totally free. It's a fitness movement. Certain days of the week are a flash mob, and like Danny was chanting there on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, some days are stairs, some days are fixed, and we always meet at the same hill. But we make it built in, rain or shine, so that people can join these tribes.
But if I show up and join one of these tribes, I've got a killer workout waiting for me. What happens? What do you do?
Well, Tom, I'd like to say when you show up.
Okay, yes, fine. I'll be there tomorrow.
You'll have a free, fierce workout, and the rules are pretty simple. You just have to be kind to the strangers until they're your friends, which takes about 5 seconds, and then just work as hard as you can. You know, we say that it's for all levels. Some of our older members are in their 80s, and some of our younger members are freshmen in college. That's not including some of the baby packs that are on the moms and dads' backpacks as they hike up and down the stairs.
And what's the idea behind it?
Well, the idea behind it, you know, just started with a former teammate of mine, the co-founder, Boyan Mandrick, and he and I just wanted to train for 1 month without having to reach into our pockets. And this was back in November 2011. The idea was we weren't really feeling like we were morning people or really connected as friends because everyone gets so quote-unquote busy that we set ourselves up with one challenge that if we could go the whole month of November, we might stick a pattern that would not only make us morning people, but we'd get time as friends set aside Monday through Friday, and then we'd head off to work feeling really great about ourselves. as former rowers from Northeastern University, we had to track every last piece of data. So we started a Google document called November Project, and the pattern stuck all the way through the winter, just the two of us training. His background with web design, he built up a pretty hilarious blog. And in 2012, we started having people come out to join us.
I could see this thing. I mean, 19 cities already in North America is big. I could see it really, really taking off in lots of communities. The idea of community attached to exercise is very appealing. And you take it to interesting locations within these towns, the Lincoln Memorial or any place that's kind of maybe well-known or presents some challenging physical attributes. I could see this in every town in America, this sort of flash mob. Let's get together and really break a sweat.
Yeah, I mean, some of the geographical features are awesome. The Harvard Stadium steps, the square in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, the Art Museum in Milwaukee, the Art Museum in Philadelphia, and on and on. I mean, there's an iconic piece to it, which just makes a great photo. There's a physical piece to it, which makes a great workout. And then we like to choose these spots where, whether it's laps or circuits, there's that feeling that we used to have in gym class, whether you were obviously the fast kid or the slow kid. We like to think that there's a churning effect in these workouts so that, you know, that vibe isn't really there. And a few minutes into the workout, the fastest and the slowest are all kind of passing one another. And it's really more about you're doing a great job, even though you have an elite athlete or an Olympian next to a former couch potato, someone just getting back into or fitness for the first time. So it's a nice mix. And I think that drives a community piece.
No handshakes, only hugs when the November Project gets together a community-oriented way of getting a big sweat broken in a hurry, and they're doing it all over the country now. We'll hear more about that. Maybe that's your way to your personal spring training. There are lots of ways. Maybe you're a runner. Here's my guest, Rebecca Pacheco, demonstrating a yoga bend from her Yoga for Runners video on our website, omgal.com.
An essential yoga practice to make you a better runner. We're going to start with a simple forward bend, soften your knees a little bit, and dive forward nice and easy. You could hold opposite hand to elbow, let your head hang down.
Okay, Rebecca Pacheco with me in the studio. We thought that you yoga people were like too cool for exercise. You're off in your own continent of Om and Om. What's the bridge? What's the crossover between yoga and you're a marathoner, let's say running or exercise in general?
Yeah, they're two of my greatest loves, and I've been at them for a very long time. I began practicing yoga at the age of 16.
We can see it. I mean, check out some of Rebecca Pacheco's videos. They are incredible. If you aspire to be a yogi, yogini, watch her. So the bridge?
And, you know, I think it really all comes down to finding what works for you. I mean, at one time, many moons ago, people would look down their noses a little bit at a yogi who also ran and you know, running was not good for you. And I took, you know, I took offense to that because I love running. I think it's important to get outside. It's great for your heart. It also has a community element for those who love it. And it also has a very meditative quality. And I think that's what I really relate to is that ability to just be with yourself, sort through your thoughts. I have run a couple marathons. And I think that if you've run a marathon, you already know how to meditate, whether you realize it or not. And so, you know, my goal is to also create community and include people. So I like when Brogan talks about, you know, being inclusive, the slowest kid in the gym class or the fastest. I approach yoga in the same manner where I speak to very seasoned yogis that have been at it a long time, can stand on their heads for, 10, 15 minutes at a pop. And I also have this strong relationship with Runner's World, for example, and brand new yogis and even people who want to know more about yoga off the mat. And that's a lot of what my book is about.
Yeah, you say your mat is a sacred space, but damn it, it feels good to moonlight in environments that welcome some swagger. You're talking about running, boxing, interval training. Help me understand. If people are looking to get fit, is yoga itself a way to do that?
Or oh,
is
absolutely.
Yoga,
absolutely.
I mean, yoga people look very fit, but I don't. When you say get fierce about fitness, are you talking about yoga-ing your way to fitness?
Could be. And it could be a combination mm-hmm. of yoga and running or yoga and, you know, climbing stairs or whatever. Certainly, it depends on what style of yoga you're practicing. excuse me.
Yeah.
Different styles have varying levels of athleticism mm-hmm. and can be very restorative, and not so fierce, mm-hmm. and others are quite athletic, even acrobatic. And my approach, as you know, is just to find what works for you and what's going to motivate you to get on your mat or to get out the door in the morning.
I'm looking at a picture of you here in the Astavakrasana, the eight angle pose. Talk about it. Pretzels with I don't know how to begin to think how you
I
do that.
I could teach you. We could do
okay,
it.
Okay. 5 minutes after the show and I'll have it done. Maybe just in the break. Brogan, do you feel the hunger for people to get out when springtime comes? Do you feel a hunger for a new kind of exercise, a new attitude toward it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we say that in November Project, a lot of people come out of hibernation right when it gets warm. I think one thing to mention just for folks who are trying to get involved, whether it's with this or with anything that's outside, is that, you know, November Project doesn't stop. And one of our claims to fame is that we're weatherproof. So no matter what's going on outside, the
hurricane, superstorm Sandy, you're out there. Snows of Boston's winter this year out there.
That's rain, wind. That's right. Yeah, I mean, we're pretty proud to say that we've never canceled for weather before, ever. Yeah, I mean, I think that just checks one of the excuses off the list of many that sometimes keeps people in bed or puts the run off till after work.
And it's free at a time when a lot of exercise is becoming made expensive for all kinds of reasons, kit or gear or what they charge for an hour of spinning.
Yeah, I mean, the motivation is the toughest part. The accountability is the toughest part. And once you get connected, then go out and get the shoes with the tech in them, and then go out and figure out the more elite training or the more exact things that you need to spend on. I'm excited to see not only November Project being offered for free, but free yoga classes and free things around these cities that we're in.
A little Ravi Shankar and George Harrison behind us right here, one of Rebecca Pacheco's favorite yoga practicing songs. Maybe that's your way to spring training. She's with us in the studio. Her new book is Do Your Own Thing. Also with us, Brogan Graham in San Diego today, co-founder of the November Project, this free outdoor flash mob exercise group now in 19 cities. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about new moves in fitness, your spring training, getting you in shape after a long winter, new ways and takes on exercise, yoga, whatever gets you moving. Rebecca Pacheco is with us, big-time yoga teacher in the Boston area and well-known far beyond through her blog, omgal.com. She's the running resident yoga expert for Runner's World. Yoga and the rest of the exercise world kind of blending together. In her perspective, she's out with a new book, Do Your Own Thing, Bending Yoga Tradition to Fit Your Modern Life. Brogan Graham joins us from San Diego, co-founder of this free outdoor flash mob exercise group called the November Project. It's in 17 American cities, two more in Canada now, maybe coming to a town near you. The tweet goes out early in the morning, and people just get together and really work it hard, together in a very community setting as a way toward exercise and fitness. Yoga may sound a long way from running. Well, with Rebecca Pacheco, it's not. Here she is with a hip opener, especially for runners.
We're now going to do what's called a hip mandala. Mandala is a circle, so knee into the chest, out to the side, and up in the back. Or if runners prefer an oval like a track, think of us circling around the track two times. We're at 800 meters now, 1,200 meters. And the fourth one. One final lap around the track here, around our hip mandala.
1,200 meters and she never leaves the mat. It's a pretty good trip. A lot of people do leave the mat. Here's the start of the 2015 Austin, Texas Marathon in February. And here's a flash mob meetup November Project in February. Pretty darn cold with that traditional chant. They have a few explicatives. And you can see how it might get you pumped up. Do they work you pretty hard? Well, pretty hard. Here's Brogan Graham, my guest today, talking in a promotional video about the intensity of that flash mob workout.
I hate to say that everyone's throwing up, but these workouts really push you.
I hate to say that everyone's throwing up. Patrice in Milton, Massachusetts. Patrice, thank you for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi. I just wanted to say that what your guests are doing is just so amazing to me because it adds to the joy of working out, and that essentially that is the fundamental need to get you to go out and do it. You have to be happy and be excited about it. Otherwise, it's obligatory, and then you don't want to do it.
Patrice has nailed it.
You have definitely nailed it. So let me ask each of you, Rebecca, first to you, how do you get the joy piece attached to exercise? You know, it used to be the people that, oh, no, I have to go to the gym, whatever. But how do you get the joy piece in there and keep it going?
I think part of it is knowing yourself, right? Knowing what is going to light you up and get you excited. So if you have that competitive element or that community element and you really vibe off those around you, then you need to seek that out. If you prefer more introspective workouts, if you just like smaller group activities, then it's finding environments that really support that. And then it's just making it a habit. And also, as we're talking about this morning, like finding leaders, finding inspirations that really excite you and giving them the support that they need to do what they do. And people like Brogan and I are just two of those.
Brogan, we can definitely hear the joy factor at work in your November project flash mob things. But how do you spark that? How do you get it going? How do you keep it going?
Oh, man, I agree with so much of what Rebecca was saying. Tom, I think I'm just going to take a nap and just have her finish the rest of the interview. So if you need me, just tweet at me. What was the question? November project?
Joy. Yeah. How do you launch it? How do you keep it going over a long time? Because people know now that they need to keep fit and stay at it for many years, you know, lifetime.
You know, Tom, remember like when we were all little children and there was that option to go out for recess, even when it was raining, you could go in the gym or you could go out and play in the rain. You kind of had the option. And everyone went out in the rain, and it was just always a good time, and you never questioned it. Well, now we're adults, and we call it fitness, and it's this thing that we have to do, right? And you have to do it in the right way or the right gym or the right space or the right studio or the right stadium. And at the end of the day, November Project and a lot of these groups in Boston and these cities that we exist in are just getting better at driving the community piece and driving the fun, right? So if you're in one of Rebecca's classes or any of the amazing teachers around these studios and these areas, and they have you start with your class by turning to your neighbor and saying hi, right? Like that's a new thing.
Yeah. Connected. That's bingo.
Yeah, and driving community in a place where you should just be about getting a workout or getting a fitness or getting, being qualified to be there. Now I feel like things are just so much more open and people are just having fun with it.
Does that mean gyms are uncool now, Brogan? Because at the gym, you know, if you're doing too much high, you're kind of in other people's spaces or everybody's got their earbuds in saying, don't tread on me.
Yeah, well, I think what Rebecca just finished saying, I mean, whatever works, right? And if you're having a hard time getting
whatever
to
you're
your gym,
going to do, you know, and stick with.
Right. I mean, it's such a bummer to me that so many people go out and get their gym membership and their new pair of shorts in January, and then they stop going in February, and they keep paying in March. To me, that's the miss. You know, the headphones are a miss, but whatever floats your boat. November Project has gotten okay at getting people to show up for the fun piece and the fierce piece and again, whatever it is for you that's working, you know, make it work.
There are a million ways to do it. Listeners, what's at the heart of your spring training plan, your year-round fitness drive? 800-423-8255. Ellen in Cheshire, Connecticut. Ellen, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
The reason for my call, what I do to keep fit is I do contra dance. There's a wonderful community all over the United States and probably all over the world. The dance community, contra dance always has live music. And what I like about it is it's a community. You know, it's very welcoming. Newcomers are really encouraged.
Do you break a sweat, Ellen? Do you get a real workout?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I love the idea of dancing I was in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and every, I don't know what it is, Sunday, I think they close a lot of the roads there, and they've got free swing dance lessons, and there were a bazillion people doing swing dance in the park. I mean, I was in there in a second, and how much fun is that? I mean, Rebecca, I guess it doesn't matter if it's yoga or marathoning or a good round of contra dance or swing dance, whatever you want.
Right. It's whatever you're going to stick with, because consistency is the key. And I think the other piece that Brogan and I have in common is that we're encouraging people to think about fitness more than just the 30, 45 minutes, 60 minutes that they're exercising.
What do you mean by that exactly? It becomes a
lifestyle. You know, it becomes a lifestyle. And you know, the whole point of yoga is to be more awake and more mindful. Mm-hmm. And that follows you off the mat. So fitness, as we know, is not just about how you move, but it's what you eat and it's the level of movement you have throughout the day. It's really tough if you're exercising for a short burst and then you're sitting at your desk all day. So I think part of the benefit of a movement like Brogan has created or the content that I have available online for free and my website is that it's accessible at your leisure. It has you thinking about fitness in a different way, in a bigger way, in a broader way, and more hours of the day than just that little morning workout or that afternoon yoga class.
Let me ask you, said that long distance running is like by definition meditative in a way, so it might set you up for yoga. But does yoga make you a better runner or a better exerciser?
Oh, yes. I mean, it certainly helps keep you healthy. It can help prevent injuries. It certainly helps with the mind-body piece, as I've mentioned. And I believe that that is one trend in which health is headed, is taking into account more the holistic approach of the mind and the body and knowing that those two cannot be disconnected.
Not just the pecs or the flex, but what's going on in your mind.
Marianne
in Southbury, Connecticut. Marianne, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a 56-year-old swimmer, and largely I swim to keep that I don't have to have back surgery again. But I added in master swimming, which is training for competitive swimming, and it is a blast.
Wow, yeah.
What does it entail, Marianne? Like, how much do you do to make it master swimming?
You could have age 25 through 75, but our coach is a sprint fanatic, and I would never sprint on my own. So we keep it fun, and we get to, you know, make fun of him.
So you're doing.
Today is sprint day, and we're like, every day is sprint day.
Where do you do it? Do you have to have a fancy club membership to get it done, Marianne?
No, I don't have a lot of money. It's the local Y. It's my normal membership is $43. That I do all year round, and I could do whatever, but I largely stay in the pool. And then when I do the Masters, it's an extra $100, so I can do that.
So you're not off to the super boutique stuff where the dollars are getting pretty big sometimes these days, Mary.
Yeah, I just can't. I suppose I would if I could.
I mean, I really appreciate. Yeah, Marianne, I appreciate your call. I mean, some of this stuff is getting pricey these days. People out there doing Soul Cycle classes, I mean, they're great. It's a heck of a workout. Here's a clip from one of them visited by Kelly Ripa for her show, you know, Live with Kelly and Michael.
Today we ride with the energy with which we would like to live. What do you say, Soul Cycle?
Rebecca, for people who don't know, introduce us a little bit to Soul Cycle. I've seen, there's one not far from where I live, and people, I've seen crowds pouring out of there. So many people.
Yeah,
but it's,
when you listen to it, it feels like it has a little bit of a yoga vibe, doesn't it?
It does, but it's spinning.
Yeah. Yeah, they morphed a little bit of the languaging of yoga that, you know, ride with the energy with which you want to live. But it's cycling. It's has a great following, huge following. Began in New York City several years ago, and people love it.
It's $36
dark room,
bucks a session
loud
in New York
music.
City.
Oh, it is expensive. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Brogan, that's community, I guess.
And that's before you buy the swanky gear that you're going to wear
Lululemon
on the bike.
Ride with me.
Yeah. And the $9 juice on the way out.
Yeah.
I mean, it adds up, Tom. It adds up.
People know it. They make fun. Here's a scene from Netflix, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Just came out this year. Two main characters, Kimmy and Jacqueline, played by Ellie Kemper and Jane Krakowski. Become obsessed with Spirit Cycle. It's a parody of Soul Cycle. And their teacher is Trista Fay.
That was amazing. I really focused on my me. I didn't think about anything else. Isn't it refreshing? Next time, let's go early so we can get bikes next to each other.
Oh, Kimmy. No. You can't ride in the front row with me. Trista Fay will summon you forward when you've earned it. I'll never forget where I was when Trista Fay asked me to join the front row. I was in spin class.
That's great.
I really focused on my me. What could be better? Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, and Alex. Alex, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you do?
Well, I play rugby. I play women's rugby.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah, so actually most major cities, even the South, have men's and women's rugby teams. We have three in Nashville. And it's great. I feel like I have friends in just about every state surrounding Tennessee, which is a lot.
Is it year-round, Alex, or is it seasonal? Is it all year-long?
It is year-round. So we play our competitive 15 season in the spring and the fall. And then over the summer, we have a sevens league, which is what you probably see on network TV. It's what's going to be in the Olympics, the sevens, but that's only in the summer.
And does it get you fit or beat you up? Is it a pretty tough game or both?
A little bit of both. There are a lot of rules governing contact. A lot of people freak out when they hear rugby. They're like, oh, my gosh, you must be hurt all the time. But there are a lot of rules governing contact. You know, you don't have the false sense of security of a helmet. So I actually, in high school sports, like basketball and, you know, other stuff that I've played, I saw more injuries. In rugby, there's a huge focus on safety. You know, of course, you're not going to run into people and not get injured occasionally, but, you know, it's more fun than it is painful.
Alex, it sounds great. And talk about community. I mean, there's a team. You're right in the middle of it. We're looking at all kinds of exercise. Your spring training, Alex in Nashville. Hers is rugby. Let me get one more right here from Tennessee. Brentwood, Tennessee. Jen is calling. Hi, Jen. You're on the air.
Hey, folks. Actually, I spent 15 years sitting in front of a computer, and one day I woke up and I was like, I hate this.
Paralyzed.
No more.
Yeah.
And so now I have a job that keeps me active, and, you know, good cash and, you know, all that. My question actually is about my husband. He suffers from arthritis due to psoriasis, and the medication just make him feel awful. And yeah. I was wondering if any of you had some suggestions for exercises for him.
Exercises for Jen's husband who's working with arthritis. That sounds like it could be yoga land. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally the first thing that comes to mind for me. A lot of people who suffer from arthritis have success with yoga just because it's gentler on your joints. And the gentler movements can just encourage kind of the lubrication of the joints, and they can often feel better. I have a lot of clients and students who feel better through yoga in that way. The other thing that came to mind was get him in the water, where, you know, he's lighter, more buoyant, and
gravity takes it a holiday.
Yeah.
A little bit. Brogan, what about the whole boutique movement? What's driving, what does it mean when people talk about boutique exercise, fitness, workouts? This is breaking the gym down into specific things, whether it's spin or something else, and cranking the price up a little?
Yeah. Well, without getting into the price, I mean, I think the specific piece is interesting, you know, and there's good and there's bad there. I like to see so many things popping up in the industry, right? So Spin Cycle and Soul Cycle and these specific kinds of yoga. No, I do yin. No, I only do vinyasa. And I think that categorization is actually pretty cool. When people decide to go for the well-rounded thing, rather than just saying, I'm all in here, I'm only a yogi, I'm only a runner, and letting the blindfolds come up for everything else, or the blinders, rather. Because I think that's actually where the fitness industry is actually heading, which is it's cool to be a dude who practices yoga and maybe CrossFit once a week and is getting ready for a triathlon and is a part of November Project Chicago and is whatever. You know, so to do all of these things, I personally speak very highly of what Rebecca does and yoga in general, because I look at it as an investment in more running, in more races, right? So it's that injury prevention. And I only practice once a week or maybe twice, but it's like that weekly vitamin that keeps you, whether it's the balancing muscles or the stretching or the heat, it keeps people injury-free.
Mix it up. We love it. Brogan Graham, stand by there, please, in San Diego. Brogan with the November Project. Rebecca Pacheco with me in the studio, author of Do Your Om Thing, our resident yogini today. Behind us here, members of the November Project doing hoisties. That's an exercise move where two people hold hands and do squats. A lot of them. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at wbur.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes.
Say you're good.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about new moves in fitness, your spring training, getting you in shape after a long winter. Rebecca Pacheco is with me, yogini, author of Do Your Own Thing, Bending Yoga Tradition to Fit Your Modern Life. Brogan Graham is here as well from San Diego, co-founder of the November Project. It's a free outdoor flash mob exercise group that is now at work in 19 cities. Let's hear a little bit of what has been very popular in recent years, high-intensity interval training. Here's an exercise instructor leading one of those. Whew, get ready, classes.
Today, we're going to start with a Tabata, which is 20 seconds of an intense movement, followed by 10 seconds of rest. We're going to do an in-and-out squat hop today. Looks like this. Wide squat, narrow squat for 20 seconds. Y'all ready? In 3, 2, go.
Of course, it doesn't automatically make you the perfect paragon of a person. Here's Congressman Aaron Schock, Republican from Illinois, with those famous abs on magazine covers before he resigned last month after a spending scandal. He used his congressional budget for personal vehicle and more.
For me to get my workout in, I have to get up pretty early, usually 5:30 in the morning, get to the gym, and usually do an hour to 2 hours of workout.
And here from last year, members of the November Project's Madison, Wisconsin tribe working out.
And you're going to do toe touches. Everybody, run in place, really choppy. If you want to mix in some toe touches, that's up to you.
Let's go to Nashville and Bridget calling there. Hi, Bridget. You are on the air. Thank you very much for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. What do you see? What do you do?
Well, I see a new trend where people are starting to wear heart rate monitors during their exercising. And for the first time, I see a whole lot of people starting to fully understand at what level they actually need to exercise to benefit.
Heart rate monitor doing what kind of exercise? Where have you seen it, Bridget? Just anything or?
There's some studios that are using it throughout the country, and they're making it easier for people to see, like, in what heart rate zones they're exercising. And it's helping, you know, people, like you said, couch potatoes who've never really exercised before, to actually come out, maybe with the help of a trainer, and understand how fast they need to run or use an incline on a treadmill, that type of thing.
Absolutely. Bridget, thank you. Rebecca, I mean, all kinds of things being monitored now. There's never been more technology applied to exercise. Everybody's got their Fitbit and all this. What do you think about that? As somebody who spent a long time in yoga and marathon and running and all the rest, how important is the integration of, I mean, heart rate monitors, fairly rudimentary. It gets even more sophisticated, but what do you think about this marriage of technology?
Sure. Is it there are devices
important?
That,
good?
That now monitor sleep as well, how many steps you're taking. Mm-hmm. I think it's all good. Again, it all comes down to what helps you kickstart a healthier lifestyle. So some people are numbers people. They like to see the data. I'm more intuitive personally. I do wear a GPS watch when I run. But particularly with yoga, I think one of the beauties of it is that you need so little. I mean, you need a mat, and that's really about it. But I think that the industry has really taken off. I believe it's called quantified self or something.
Yeah, everybody talks about the quantified self.
Yeah.
Brogan, how do you look at that? Of course, the tech industry has a big interest in getting us to see exercise and technology as married. Do you marry them in your own practice of fitness?
Yeah, you know, I think that having the info is great. You know, running with a GPS watch can be great. For some people, it's a new addiction. Their eyes are open in a new way to running or training. And some people take it to the next level, and that heart rate monitor comes into play to show the output. And then they wear it maybe all the time. I mean, I have friends who wear them in hot yoga classes. Or my mom, for example, lives in the mountains, and she wears it on walks when she goes on walks. So some people love the info. Some people, are driven by the numbers. And some people need less, right? And some people like the old school, like, let's just go work our butts off and get as tired as we can and just throw it all the way down. And that's a measurement that some people are still in tune with, and some people need more. I say whatever you're jazzed about, whatever drives you and makes training or whatever you're doing more exciting, that's awesome. Bring it on. Personally, I run with a GPS watch when I can, but I try and keep it pretty simple outside of that.
Here's Drew writing to us on Twitter and asks the two of you, how do you define a good workout? What's sufficient? What's spectacular? Rebecca?
Oh, that's an awesome question. Mm-hmm. How you feel? how you feel when you walk out.
But how should you feel? Like totally exhausted? Like I pushed it to the max?
Well, I think any good training regimen in any sport has variety. So you don't sprint every day. I mean, that caller about the swimming was funny. Her coach obviously favors sprinting. But you don't sprint every single day. If you only ran the same distance at the same pace every single day, you wouldn't improve. So you have to have some variety. And I think there are some days that are for maintenance where you leave your workout and you feel good. You feel like you, you know, shook things up a little bit, shook off the dust, you sweated,
Is there a heart rate goal that you want when you're talking about that?
Not explicitly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be very, very honest. Some days I it's kind of an indulgence for me to be on the elliptical machine, have my Kindle and read a book. And I'm sweating, but I'm not setting
just
the world
afire. Yeah.
Exactly. And because it's part of my habit, it's part of my lifestyle. There are other days, absolutely, where if I'm in training for a marathon, I'm going out for a 20 miler or I'm spending 2 hours on my yoga mat. I mean, and I leave and I feel like levitating. I feel spectacular. But I think variety is really important and I think it's really healthy so that people know they don't have to, you know, exhaust themselves every single time.
Brogan, this idea, you're there in San Diego, but this all over the country, this idea of mixing it up is big these days. But when I look at your flash mob gatherings, it seems pretty intense every time to my eye, Brogan.
That's right, Tom. It's intense every time. No, just kidding. even in Boston, you know, they're going Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6:30 in the morning. Their Monday is drastically different from their Wednesday. You know, they're doing a lot of body weight, a lot of core, right? They call that the destination deck on Mondays. You run to the location. The workout's less than 20 minutes. Then you get going back home. That's how you start your day. It's Monday.
Cool.
Every Wednesday is the Harvard Stadium stairs, and those will knock you on your butt. Fridays are running hills in Brookline. And so you get this variation. The thing is, you know, for us, how do you define a good workout? We like to push racing. And we like to push simplicity of everyone working as hard as they can. And so if you're new, whatever your heart as you can is up next to the elite next to you. And it's all good. As long as everyone is really digging deep, we consider that a good session. All of our workouts are done in under an hour, and it's pretty straightforward. So that's kind of the November project take on it.
Love it. Everybody's got their own way. Leah says, for me, it's getting back to ballet. That sounds pretty great. Mark says, commute to work on your bike. That builds it right into your life. Nick in Boston. Nick, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
How are you today?
Okay. What do you do?
Oh, no way.
Yes way.
A new greeting.
So I've been a part of November Project for a good over 2 years now and just wanted to comment on how amazing it is. I'm a former collegiate athlete and work on my own, compete in different races, train with other groups, and nothing is like November Project and what it brings to the table, how hard it pushes you, and the relationships you build during it.
Is it because you get into different parts of town to have that workout? Is it the community? What is it, Nick?
It's the different types of people. Typically, growing up, when you're competing in sports, you're competing with other people just like you, whereas in November Project, you have elite athletes, but you also have deconditioned people who are looking to just get in shape, and everyone is supported and gets along the same, and that's what I love about it. It's not just all the same type of people, it's a wide range of people.
That's pretty terrific. Keeps you coming right out. Here's a question from William on Facebook. Brogan says, please comment on burst training. What is that? Do you know?
You know, Tom, I don't know anything about fitness and athletics. I just drive large mobs out of bed. So, yeah, I don't know. Burst? It sounds
high intensity.
Yeah, like, it sounds like a version of high intensity.
Scary.
I don't know explicitly what burst is.
Well, scary. You're the guy who says you don't throw up every time. That sounds a little
you need,
scary.
Well, let me tell you, Tom, you need lightweight shoes for burst energy and a heart rate monitor. That's all I got on that.
Yeah, that's good enough. Lori in Nashville, Tennessee. Lori, you're on. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a rabbi here in Nashville, Tennessee, and I called in for other subjects, but this one actually is my favorite. A few years, and I've been a runner since I was 18. I'm 42 now. I have about 500 families in the congregation I serve, and a few years ago, I was just feeling stymied, like I wasn't able to kind of help people reflect in the way that I needed to be or move kind of beyond their comfort zones, and I had taken up yoga, so I took 6 weeks just sort of aside, and I did a yoga certification program.
Yeah.
I've been teaching at this amazing studio here in Nashville on Music Row. And I share that because it absolutely made me a better professional. Mm-hmm. This awareness of the physical and how connected it is to spiritual you know, we all go to our doctors annually. We get physicals. We go when we don't feel well. But we forget that we have to have spirituals also. And that fitness is so much connected both physically and spiritually. We forget that spiritual component. Now I'm so much more present, I think, for my congregants. I'm so much more present for my students in the yoga room. I'm so much more present for myself when I'm out on the roads or the trails running. And I think, you know, if people are willing to take a leap of faith, both physically and it's connected spiritually,
yeah,
and move outside that circle, that is where magic always
to
happens.
Consider their spiritual health. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Lori in Nashville, I just love that. And we've got others on this beam as well. Thank you. Run safely there. Nick writes to us, mind, body, and spirit, these things are all tied together. When in balance, you will have a better life. Rebecca, this gets into no small part of your do your own thing. I mean, in your yoga practice, of course, it's the body, but you've got that spirit angle, that awareness, mindfulness piece right in there as well.
Yeah, and we all have it, regardless of whether you are religious or not, or what if you have a personal faith of choice or spiritual community or not. Yoga can just be one more way for you to be spiritually healthy and to take time for yourself and to be quiet and to commune with your own inner soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, my book is actually broken down into four parts. The beginning is yoga background, and then it is broken down precisely that way, body, mind, and spirit.
Justine writes to us on Facebook, says, I've been doing community and donation-based yoga.
Do you know what
she's talking about?
I do. Yeah. Most likely she's referring to going to a studio that is probably training its younger staff or its aspiring teachers. So community classes or donation-based classes will often be taught by teachers that need to get experience. And so they are there getting their hours.
It's like the barbershop with the new barbers. Or the newbies.
Exactly. And the students get this great experience, but at a discounted price, and oftentimes they might even donate the $5 a head or something to charity. So everyone benefits. It's a great way to do it.
I love it. We're talking about your spring training, new moves in fitness. Of course, not everybody is coming out of a winter hibernation here. Paul says, winter break? Winter running could be some of the best runs. Running at night with temps in the 20s, a little light snow, you can run forever. It's silent. It's amazing. We have a local group called Monday Night Mayhem, trail running in the dark with headlamps. And after the snow comes, we put on our snowshoes and keep on running. Sounds a little November into December project there. Bill in Burlington, Wisconsin. Bill, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. When people ask me, I'm 46 years old, when people ask me how I stay fit, I just recommend that they try to make something that they already enjoy a little more intense. I played golf for a long time, and I figured if I can get two games in an hour, I'd like to try that. And it worked out so I could run the course, and it's kind of like interval training because I slow down, pick up the disc, and throw it and sprint toward the disc, and it's really fantastic. So that's my recommendation.
Bill, I love it. Brogan, that sounds right up your alley. Take something
awesome
you like and make it a little more intense.
Yeah. I mean, like, what if we apply that to everything, like really intense ping pong or like tetherball? We're going tetherball 90 games in a row. But to be serious, I totally agree. I mean, a lot of people will, you know, they'll go to the Harvard Stadium and they'll go up and down the steps. And it's not until they come to the November Project workout where they really push themselves harder than they would when they were by themselves.
And what makes them do that? Maybe it's you. Here's a little sound. You can do this in your town, too, if you like. We just Brogan yelling and encouraging his gang at one of their meetups.
Every time you hear this cowbell. Perfect. That's what's called a fire drill. At that moment, you drop to the ground wherever you are, and you give five perfect push-ups.
Beware the cowbell. Joel in Akron, Ohio. Joel, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. What do you think, Joel?
I had a question. So I was intrigued about the guy talking there a minute ago about the community that he started.
Hey.
And I guess my question was to him is if he can answer, is, you know, how hard was it to get this huge community together? When did it start? How did it start? How many? Did it drag for a year or two? I guess that kind of thing.
Do you want to bring it to Akron, Joel?
I've been trying to start a 6'5 and over running club because us big guys, we can't run as far as those little
guys. Joel.
6'5 and over. I love it.
Joel.
I'm 240 pounds and I still run marathons and half marathons, but I just can't go as quick as other people.
I love it. Brogan,
they're called the Clydesdale, category. They're the Clydesdales.
Something for everybody. How do you get it started, Brogan? How do you get it going?
Well, first of all, Joel, man, I'm 6'6, so I would be in your club if I lived in Akron. That's one. You know, I think that just to rush through the history, I mean, we didn't set out to create November Project. We had people starting to show up, and then we stoked the flames. And for Joel or for Rebecca or for anybody, social media these days is vital. You know, it plays a big part in whatever you're doing. And we were kind of doing a couple things right and just kind of and learning along the way. But to know about Joel's group in Akron, like how visible are they online? How would I find them? And I think that played a huge part in building these 16 cities in the U.S. and the three in Canada. And that's how it's exploded. I mean, you know, a big workout last fall in Boston at the Harvard Stadium, you know, we had 1,400 people in one workout on a Wednesday morning. That doesn't just happen because you know, you put up flyers around town at coffee shops. To be on point with social media, with a regular, consistent voice, and feel like you can be yourself. I mean, I think that drives a lot of personality. That people
are you
can,
still expanding, Brogan? You got 17 cities in the U.S. Could you be?
Yeah.
I don't know, 170. Are you open?
Yes, Tom. We're taking over the world. November Project. No, you know, we said last year at the end of the year that our goal was to be in 30 cities at the end of this year. We're on track, and we'll see how it all goes. But, yes, we're trying to put out as many smiles and as many miles as we can.
Rebecca, Brogan has his cowbell. You've got your yoga dinghies right here. All right. And we're in the yoga zone. I love it. The new book is Do Your Own Thing, Bending Yoga Tradition to Fit Your Modern Life. Rebecca Pacheco, you're just terrific. Thank
Drop
you so much
and give
for
me five chaturangas.
Okay. Five chaturangas coming
That's
right
That's awesome.
Up. How fantastic. And Brogan Graham with the November Project in San Diego. Brogan, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're the
thank
man,
you, Tom.
Thank you.
Rebecca,
thank
you. Awesome to have you right here. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Get fit, stay fit, feel the joy. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.